This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi ala hilmihi ba'da ilmihi wa ala afwihi ba'da qudratihi. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathiran. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, scholars, elders and brothers, we are living in an age in which there are many different challenges, and every age has had its challenges. Just 2 days ago in the same masjid, we spoke about the gender identity crisis and the LGBTQ crisis. Today I would like to focus on another crisis which has reached in many ways unprecedented level compared to earlier times. And that is about mental health, mental illness. It has perhaps been exacerbated because of our situation, because of the stress that we are living with. And it is a reality which we need to deal with. And Islam, which always gives us solution to all our challenges, all our issues, has also given us guidelines with regard to mental health. Now, just a few things. Firstly, I must also make mention that I am no expert on this, so I'm not speaking as a psychiatrist or as someone who is an expert in mental health, but someone, you know, who has just done a wide bit of reading with regard to this and offering some guidelines with the ulama, and which is in our Quran and Hadith. The first thing is, just as someone sometimes feel unwell despite not having serious illness, sometimes people may experience poor mental health without proper or full-blown mental illness. Mental health is about our mental well-being and includes our emotional, psychological and social well-being. It includes psychotic disorders, personality disorders, impulse control disorders. It determines how we deal with stress, how we relate to others, and how we make choices. Mental health disorders exist in broad categories. Sometimes it comes in the form of anxiety disorders. Sometimes in the form of mood disorders. Sometimes you have what you call bipolar. What is bipolar? Two different poles. So one pole you have someone who is on a high, on the other hand is on a low. So experiencing varying degrees of moods. And of course in relationship, that is perhaps one of the most difficult to deal with. And that is why you find people having great degree of difficulty in relationship when one of the partners or both of the partners might have bipolar. Then you have anxiety, excessive worry, which may result in panic disorders. How do you deal with anxiety? How do you deal with emotional stress? How do you deal with challenges that come up from the worldly point of view? And sometimes there is depression, low mood orders for a long duration. Now the difficulty we have in today's time in our society is the stigma. So there is a stigmatization of this disease, largely unrecognized, therefore left untreated. And people hide it. One of the reasons why we will find in traditional societies and traditional families, we won't deal with it because we will say, you know, people will say, I do gandoche. And that's the way we look at it. So even if a person does show these type of symptoms, we tend to not deal with it and not treat it. It reminds me of a somewhat, you know, humorous incident. They say, you know, once upon a time there used to be a governor general of Pakistan by the name of Ghulam Muhammad. He used to be, you know, the governor general. So one day he came to a psychiatric ward, or what we used to call, like, you know, a mad hospital. We used to have Stapfontein in our area. So one day he came to this particular place, and as he walked in, the people say, Ek aur a gaya. One more came. So he got very angry. He said, Main Pakistan ka governor general ho. I am the governor general of Pakistan. And he said, we also used to say the same thing. So there is this whole particular stigma which is attached to it. When we hear anyone with depression, how do we respond most of the time? There is no depression, it's only in your head. What are you worried about? Allah is in control over things. Does it mean that you don't have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why are you depressed? Why do you worry? Now, this is how we deal with it. It is almost like telling a diabetic patient, pull your pancreas together, it will create insulin. You You don't tell a diabetic patient that. You don't tell a patient who has got, for example, you know, a high blood, pull yourself together. You know, your blood pressure will come right. Sometimes there is an illness which needs a diagnosis, which needs you to go to a doctor. Why do we change that particular situation with regard to depression? Sometimes there is an imbalance with regard to serotonin. So, you know, we tend to undermine it, which exacerbates the situation. And sometimes we have the jadoo factor. Anything that is wrong with a person, anything that comes in a situation, it is jadoo, burn uche. Now you must have heard this whole particular situation. A woman became pregnant. So she went to one of the amils. Now luckily that amil was someone who knew a little bit about medical aspects also. And he also knew with regard to what is a pregnancy. So she said, I'm not feeling well. No, someone did something to me. So, you know, he looked at it and he said, no, there is nothing wrong with you. And he used this Gujarati phrase, barnu nimle, andarnu che. It's not something to do with outside, it's something to do with inside. You are pregnant. But for us, anything, even symptoms of pregnancy, we tend to equate it and say that it is jadoo. So what we need to understand that it is not to do, depression is not lack of faith. You know, it's not something that you say you don't have faith in Allah Ta'ala, therefore you have depression. There are reasons, there are situations which we are not aware. And we have to be very, very careful in making these type of judgments, which unfortunately we do. In the Quran, there are many instances where Allah Ta'ala has made mention of great personalities who had great amount of challenges in their life. And they had situations of sadness and, you know, worry. One of the most amazing things that you will find is Hazrat Maryam. When miraculously she was about to give birth to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, she conceived, right? Miraculously. Hazrat Jibreel blew her into her sleeve and she became pregnant. And then when she became pregnant, she went out of the city. And of course she was worried. How am I going to face the community of being pregnant without marriage? And Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has recorded her anxiety in such words that sometimes it is so, you know, it's something for us to think. Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha. If only I had died before this day, and I would have vanished and been obliterated, and I would not have been in this earth. If only I would have vanished, I would have died before this day. What made her say that? It was a worry that how I'm going to face the community with regard to, especially coming from such a noble background, how am I going to face the community with regard to this? And then when eventually she did come to the community, Allah records it in such a beautiful way. Ya ukhta Harun, ma kana abuki mra'asaw, wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. Oh, sister of Harun, your mother was not immoral. Ya ukhta ma kana abuki mra'asaw. You know, and your family is not from such a background. How have you come with a child and been pregnant without marriage? Fa'asharat ilayhi. And what did she do? She indicated to the small child, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he from there, he announced the, and what did he say? Inni Abdullah, I am the servant of Allah. He gave evidence with regard to the morality and the chaste nature of his mother. But when she said those words, Ya laytani mittu min qabli Allah ta'zani wa husi ilayki bijifin, Allah didn't say, why are you worried? Allah Ta'ala consoled her. Allah Ta'ala, don't worry. قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكف ناداها من تحتها. Allah تحزني. Don't get sad. Don't get worried. I have made arrangements for you. You go and stay here. There is clean water. There is a date palm. Shake it. You will get fresh dates. Allah didn't say, why are you worried? Why are you making mention of these things? Allah Ta'ala consoled her. Do we do the same when someone shows and gives symptoms and expresses his feeling that I'm worried, I'm anxious? Do we console or do we dismiss it? Why, you don't have faith in Allah Ta'ala that you are worried? Allah Ta'ala didn't tell her that. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala consoled her. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam's incident is made mentioned in the Holy Quran. وَبْيَدَّتْ أَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. His eyes and his sight became clouded because of sadness of the disappearance of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What was that? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam cried many a times with regard to the anxieties that he faced in this world. There is one year in the history of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam which is known as Amul Huzn, the year of sadness. That particular year in which he lost his beloved wife Hazrat Khadija and he lost his uncle Abu Talib, who was a pillar of his support. So these are things that we have to grow up with. We can't dismiss it. And what is very surprising is that we stigmatize something when in reality we were the pioneers of dealing with this particular type of mental illness. The first psychiatric ward known as Darul Shifa was built by a Muslim physician in the 8th century. It dealt with matters in a holistic manner, which I will go on to explain. Abu Bakr Razi, after he studied medicine, constructed the largest dedicated psychiatric ward. And in that, he used to have a holistic treatment. And part of that holistic treatment was speech therapy. Get people to talk about the difficulties. He used to have sound therapy. Sound therapy used to be that they used to have zikr and askar with a particular melodious way to able to treat the depression of people. Then you had fountains. Go and look at all earlier Islamic architecture. You always had fountains. The running of water created a situation which was part of sound therapy to be able to bring relief to people who had tension. And one of the most amazing things that I read was Abu Zaid al-Bakhli. He wrote a book in which he diagnosed obsessive compulsive disorder almost exactly as described by modern psychiatry. And one of the things that they found was that after the people went out of these wards, they used to give them a stipend. We Muslims were the ones that when people got released and discharged from those particular wards, they were given a stipend, which in today's time, it is part of what is called relapse prevention strategy. Can you imagine? You know, unfortunately, today we have restricted Islam. And I'm not saying we must become modernist in terms of our thoughts and our ideas. But at the same time, Islam was progressive. Islam was those that brought, you know, whether it be medicine and whether it be any other things. We were the ones who were the people who showed people the world. Unfortunately, in the last one or two centuries, and unfortunately, we must say, exacerbated by our thinking about what religion is, we have regressed. And one of the amazing things with regard to Islam, when it deals with this whole particular issue of mental health, it always deals with it holistically. And it always tells us that you cannot deal with mental challenges, mental health in isolation, or only one aspect of your health. So it had said that for you to be able to achieve optimum mental health, you have to be and gain wellness physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. It is only when you become well in all of these four spheres will you be able to gain mental health. Let me briefly make mention with regard to it. First, physical health. The health of our physical body is essential to our well-being. There can be no wellness without physical health. My dear respected brothers, I can't overemphasize the emphasis Islam has given to protecting your health. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, protect your health before illness overtakes you. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than a weak believer. When you are strong, you will be able to do more. When you are weak, what can you do? Huh? Sometimes you might be able to have all those times. You know, we used to play tennis with one person, Marhum Ibrahim Mia, you know, we used to play tennis with him. So many a times when he used to go to the ball and he couldn't go because he was becoming old, and you say the mind is there, the body is not there. Huh? So we have this type of situation. You have to be physically well to be able to achieve wellness. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Ali has written a very amazing incident. You know, Sheikh Sadi was also a very amazing poet, a Persian poet. I did 1 year of Sheikh Sadi's poems. So in one of his, you know, beautiful incidents, he makes mention that a king was going out on an expedition, a hunting expedition. So when he was going out in this hunting expedition, there was one person who was complaining. They had to go in a boat, they had to go in a ship. And he was complaining, I got seasickness, I got this illness, I got that illness. So someone, one wise person, told the king, I will relieve him. I will cure him. He said, how? He said, just leave it to me. So what he did, one day that person who was complaining took him, he threw him into the ocean. And somehow or other he threw something with it so that he could come back safely to the boat and to the ship. After they never complained. So the king said, how did you come upon such a way to relieve and stop him from complaining? So what a remarkable answer he gave. He said he underestimated the safety of the boat in the midst of the ocean. When he went into the ocean, he realized the safety the boat was providing. So then Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Alayhi gives this incident and he says this. Many a times people don't value health until sickness overtakes them. Brothers, look after your health. I hope I can be able to say this earlier. But this is a reality. When you are young, look after your health. You know, there was a very great person in our community, Maulana Ahmad Haturani. You know, and I used to stay with him a lot and I learned a lot from him. And one day he told me, as he told us, he told his children and he told people very amazingly. He said, Allah wa inna nafsa lan tamuta hatta tastakmila rizqaha. No one will die until he completes his risk quota, his quota of risk. So he say, why do you finish your quota so quickly by overeating? Why are you finishing your quota so quickly? Which of course have other health repercussions. So that's one of the things. The other aspect with regard to wellness is intellectual well-being. You know, there's so much of emphasis with regard to أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Won't you ponder over the Holy Quran? Have intellectual stimulation. Keep yourself busy intellectually. You know, in Surah Araf, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ. I will fill Jahannam with many human beings. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but they don't understand. They have eyes, but they don't see. Obviously they see, but what do they see? Sometimes they see naked woman. They're not supposed to see that. They're supposed to see something else. وَلَهُمْ عَيُنُ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. وَلَهُمْ أَذَانُ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have ears, but they don't hear. قوالی سن کر جھومتے ہیں اور قرآن سن کر اونگتے ہیں. When they listen to music, they dance. And when they listen to Quran, they fall asleep. So Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention that those who do not use their intellect to reach the truth, they are كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. They are worse than animals. So Allah Ta'ala tells us to use our intellect. That's the reason why Islam has placed so much emphasis upon education. The very first verse in the Holy Quran was about education, اقرأ. And education is the most important factor in achieving maximum intellectual potential. Our brains, our intelligence, just like our body, needs exercise and it needs intellectual stimulation to prevent dementia and to prevent the loss of our intelligence and our thinking. But who thinks like that? One of the reasons, that's why Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran tells us, Rabbi zidni ilma. Oh Allah, increase me in knowledge. One of the reasons why alcohol is haram, because it takes away your intellectual faculty, your faculty of thinking. I have a friend in the legal field, and one day he told me a very amazing thing. He told me, he said he saw a very prominent, respected judge at the end of the year party. He was drunk. He was slurred in his speech. He was talking nonsense. He said, then I realized why Allah has made alcohol haram. That a person who has intellect, he has lost his intellect. And part of our whole wellness, part of our holistic wellness is to have intellectual well-being. The third thing that we are supposed to have is emotional well-being. Lack of emotional wellness also leads to deterioration of our health. Islamic text acknowledges the validity of negative emotions and offer guidelines on how to deal with them in a healthy way. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also had episodes where there was sadness, there was emotional challenges. Many a times, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam buried his daughter, Hazrat Zainab, the eldest daughter. He went into the qabr, he cried. And when he came out of the qabr, he was smiling. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the reason for this? He said, when I went into the qabr, I made dua to my Allah. Oh Allah, my daughter, this daughter of mine, this eldest daughter of mine, went through tremendous struggle for the sake of Islam. Oh Allah, you forgive her. And I went into the qabr crying. And then while I was in the qabr, Allah Ta'ala revealed to me that I have elevated the status of your daughter. I came out smiling. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had this, not only with regard to his children. He went to see Sa'd bin Abi Ubadah, who was one of the pillars of helping Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina. He saw him on the last stages of his life, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cried. The Sahaba cried with him. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had emotional challenges, but Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always taught us how to deal. Now that's a different subject on its own, how to deal with emotional challenges. But what I'm saying is, part of holistic wellness is to have emotional well-being. And part of having emotional well-being is to have a positive outlook in life. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, what an amazing, he said, hoping for good and positivity is also an act of worship. And what greater example can you give with regard to being positive? That Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be positive till the end of time. And that hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to mind. إِذَا عَتَتْ أَحَدُكُمُ السَّاعَةِ فَلْيَغْرَسِ الْفَصِيلَةَ فَلْيَغْرِسْهَا. If you hear the trumpet of Qiyamah blowing and you are planting a seed, don't say who's going to benefit from this particular seed, who's going to benefit from this plant, who's going to benefit from this tree. It is Qiyamah. Go and plant the tree. Be positive till the day you die. Go and do something that is positive. And lastly, you know, part of, you know, our wholeness and complete holistic wellness is spiritual well-being. The role of spirituality is an essential part of both prevention and treatment of mental illness. There is a systematic review of multiple studies that showed that increased level of spirituality, ibadat, and religiosity correlated with better mental health. While of course it is beneficial, we never say that it is intended to minimize the other forms of treatment. This is part of the treatment, that you have a ta'alluq with Allah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. In the remembrance of Allah, will hearts find contentment. You can have everything else. You can have the best home. You can have the best amount of wealth. You can have the best of cars. But it will not bring you contentment and satisfaction. Allah has kept satisfaction in something else. Allah is our creator. You cannot use any gadget against the manufacturer's, you know, way of dealing with it. Otherwise, you know, you take a phone and you go against what the manufacturer or what they have told you how to use it, you won't be able to use it. And you won't be able to have maximum with regard to your phone or any other things. Allah is our creator. And as our creator, He's telling us, I have not kept your contentment in satisfaction in wealth. I have kept your contentment in the remembrance of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, the coolness of my eyes, that means my satisfaction, lies in salat. He used to tell Bilal many a times, oh Bilal, there is so much difficulties we are encountering, so many challenges. Arihna ya Bilal. Oh Bilal, give us contentment. Go and give the azan. Go and give the azan, ya Bilal, arihna. So when we have these four wellness in our life, you know, wellness in our physical body, wellness in intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, then you will have the holistic wellness, which inshallah will bode well for us and will grant us complete health, both physically and mentally. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq of understanding. As I have made mention from the very beginning, mental illness and mental health, depression is a reality. How do we deal with it? I have given you certain ways. May Allah Ta'ala accept and may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Allah.